George Philhauer puts the show together, Skip Malley on sound, and Kevin Simonson on lights. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have three Hall of Famers of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here tonight. This is very nice. And now, he became a shining of musical spirit in the 60s. We have him in the next century. Here he is. It's your John Sebastian.
Not waste any more time. We got Yorma. We got Jack. Yes, yes. And we have the Yorma Tabernacle Choir also ready to jump in here. Let us smite them.
Ever take a trip, baby, on a movie line? I said, I hate it, oh, mama, mama, hate it, oh, they pop, pop, talk about the movie line. Ask for the rides, easy, no trouble in mind. I woke up this morning, big battle caught the fall. I said, I hate it, oh, mama, mama, hate it, oh, they pop, pop, talk about a quarter to fall. When I got back, she was playing on a cooling board.
Sounds like the kind of thing that people say at the top of shows, but this is one of the places that I look forward to playing every year. And not all of it is. And it isn't all just Yorma and Jack and, you know, old Fudd sitting back there going, remember back when? I don't remember. Never mind. Well, we've been having a lot of fun backstage. Bobby Whitlock and old friend of ours, and well, kind of one of our instrumental heroes, you know? He's here. And I guess you already heard now. We got Paul Colby, who personally breastfed me for many years, and I appreciate it. I do. I used to go down to the bitter end because that's where all the actual working musicians were playing. All the other places in town, see, I used to live in Greenwich Village, so I was like, within this four block area, there was everything from the lowest dive where nobody got paid anything ever, and then the bitter end was kind of up there on the top of the feeding frenzy there. Only thing that I used to have to go other places for were the old guys, because I used to like the old guys best. Give me a guy about 65, I'm starting to believe him, no matter what he does. And me and Johnny Hammond, who used to live right down the street, go around and see John Hurt, Son House, and Bucca White. And we knew something wonderful was happening. You know, people say, man, you know, we really didn't know, did we? And I always say, no, no, we did. We did. We knew how good that was. Now, Grandpa Johnny, he was short and stout. You could hear him crouch out the side of his mouth. He yelled at Junior around the side of the house. He said, just don't stop till y'all worn out. Now, my pal Terry's arousing up. He can slam that piano till the poop comes out. He keeps on pounding till the people shout. He say, just don't stop till y'all worn out. Don't stop. Most of my beginnings came about being the lucky son of other musicians, and it turned out a writer. My mom and dad decided to live in Greenwich Village. They were both people from out of town, and so I kind of got in there early. I always felt like I had a little head start on a lot of the people that were playing there. They all had to wait till they were 18 so that, you know, they weren't technically like running away from home or something. And I just had to walk down the street because I'd just say, Mom, you know, I'm going right past where we buy the bread. And that was it. Between tunes, people think you know what you're going to play next. No, I actually have an idea because I feel well, let's just start from the beginning here. This is a tune that came out of trying to write songs. I'd maybe written two or three, and this was a time When in New York, if you were had your radio on, you could hear Martha and the Vandellas, and they were out there playing this tune at the time called Heat Wave, and the Spoonful. We listened to this tune endlessly, and it went. Sped it up. Double time, you know. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts. And it's magic if the music is groovy and makes you feel happy like an old time movie. I'll tell you about magic. It can free your soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. If you believe in magic, don't bother to choose if it's jet-band music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen. It'll start with a smile that won't wipe off your face, no matter how hard you try. Your feet start tapping, you can't seem to find how you got there. Just blow your mind. If you believe in magic, come along with me. We'll dance until morning till it's just you and me. Bob haircut and a shot of good booze. Hurry home, sweet mama. Don't you take your time. If you wait too long, mom, your daddy will be gone. Hurry down to the dress shop. Pick the one that looks best. Your own pretty mama, she got a brand new dress. Hurry home, sweet mama, don't you take no time. If you wait too long, mom, your daddy will be gone. Sunday morning to church, watch me go. My wings are sprouting high. The Bible told me so. Hurry home, sweet daddy. Don't you take no time. If you wait too long, your daddy will be gone. About John Hurt. You know, the blues singers were a pretty macho lot of people, and John Hurt sang this song where he would take the woman's part. You know, I always thought that was cool. That last tune was Richland Woman, and I guess I've gotten it kind of enlivened in my memory now, because last year, Maria Muldaur gave me a call and said she was doing this tune on her record. She said, "And you got to play John Hurt." So we had a cool session. It was totally remote control. She was in a studio in San Francisco, and I was in a studio in New York. It was cool. It was. We were calling it like sort of like jug band phone sex. Just, I said, "You know, Maria, now just walk around your kitchen and sing that a few times." And I'd get the beat, you know. Playing in this room because this thing sounds good in here. Yeah. Now, you know, some rooms you play the bottom end is it's not always they don't include that in the price of the ticket sometimes. So it's nice to come into a nice wooden room like this and be able to actually feel it coming back. That heavily influenced me. This was a Gus Cannon tune that I had never heard until a friend of mine said, "Come up to my house." This is in New York. He said, "I got this jug band record." And I'd never heard any jug band music. I didn't know what it was. And here was this record, Gus Cannon. Head is hanging down with those prison wall blues. The white room made me act a cockeyed clown. Now I got no time to lose. When they put you behind that gate, you wish you hadn't done it. Honey, now it's too late. I got them prison wall blues keep on rolling across my mind. Funny, not really that long after that, I wrote wrote a totally original tune. Actually went like this. She's one of those girls who seems to come in the spring. One look in her eyes and you forget everything you had ready to say. And I saw the today, yeah. A young girl keeps rolling across my mind. No matter how much I try, I can't seem to leave a memory behind. Not even in town. A young girl keeps rolling across my mind. And should I hang around acting like her brother? In a few more years they call us right for each other. And why, if I wait, I'll just die. Instruments by now, it's probably going to be all right. See, for the jug band music, we need the prosthetic device. When I finally got a chance to see some of these old pictures, 1920s pictures of these old jug band guys, they all had these great rigs for playing harmonicas and kazoos while you're playing something else. Because inevitably, you know, if you could have less guys and more instruments, you could do better. So, this is a strange, this is a kind of a pat your head thing. So sweet, and it's a hard to beat. Yeah, jug band music certainly was a treat to me. You know, I was with my girl, I put my hand on her knee. She said, if you can't play the jug, honey, you can't play with me. Cause it sounds so sweet, and it's a hard to beat. Was a dream to me. Mm-hmm.
I turned off my radio. That jug band music made me stomp down my floor, cause it sounds so sweet. It's a hard to beat. Yeah, jug band music, it was a treat to me.
Full of like tryptophan poisoning. People still recuperating from yesterday. No, they're starting to perk up now. I have one very, very strong clapper here in the front. Gotta help this woman though, because, yeah, one clapper. Sounds funny. Okay. Now, I got something for you. I got this kind of a mood thing. It's one of those tunes, you know, when you write songs, sometimes you make the mistake of thinking that everything has to be real, and all your inspiration has to be real. Now, this was a common mistake among me and other 20-year-olds. And actually what happened was that none of us had girlfriends or wives for longer than 25 minutes. Because you get the song out of the relationship and figure, okay, that's it, right? And so I began to realize that, you know, maybe you could use old inspiration, old leftover inspiration that you hadn't really, you know, I started to think, well now, what about some of the things that really bothered me in the old days about this or that relationship? And I couldn't help thinking of a beautiful Italian girl that was in a jug band with me, who I was crazy for. I was just crazy for her. And I suddenly figured that the way to impress this woman, and she was about my age, but she was a real village kitty. I mean, you know, she had all the 30-year-old boyfriends that drove and stuff, and, you know, it was all, I just kind of felt like, I don't have a chance with this woman. I really don't. And then I thought, well, if she's this hip, you know, what would I take her to see that really just really impress her? And I decided that I would take her to see the Jim Queskin Jug Band at the Bitter End Cafe. And that's exactly what we did. We went. Now, this band that we were in was a kind of a New York jug band, was a little bit more of an amateur affair at the time, even though we had some great players in there. David Grisman was part of this band. Stephen Grossman, Steve Katz, and a bunch of people, and the beautiful Miss Maria D'Amato. And this was the girl that I really just thought, man, you know, what would it take? So we go to the Bitter End, to Paul Colby's joint, to see the Queskin Jug Band. And they come out, and these guys are great. They've got Fritz Richmond, the washtub bass player, that plays like he can play a chromatic scale on the thing. You know, it's not just a thing. Then he plays the jug. He can do the same thing on the jug. So he's amazing. And they got two harmonica players. And they got a lead singer that's just so compelling. He's so real sound. And I notice that Miss D'Amato is noticing this too. I'm beginning to notice that her attention is drifting from me at this point. Her eyes are more or less on this lead singer guy. Well, I went home alone that night, folks. That's right, I just me whistling down McDougal Street. So I thought, well, gee, maybe I'll use this for an inspiration. I try to persuade you, bring you around, show you to mama, eat uptown. But I know you, you'll just be impress you, do what I can, talk some Italian to the sausage man. There will be cloaked in steam my passing fantasy. I keep on dreaming. Some tell me I'm just scheming about some other place in time. I keep hoping that some door will open there. You'll say you'll be mine. So maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, might come a time my message comes in clear. I guess for me, well, just have to be my passing fantasy. I keep on dreaming. Some tell me I'm just scheming. And it's crazy, but it's true. I keep hoping that some door will open there. You'll come strolling through. So maybe tomorrow, honey, maybe next year, might come a time my message comes in clear. But I guess for me, we'll just have to be my passing fantasy. My passing fantasy.
Thank you.
most of the time he'd actually stop right before he sang this song. He'd stop and take a hold of this little coffee cup that he had on a stand next to his chair. He'd lift it up to his lips and he'd say, "I always had my cup of Maxwell House coffee. Cause it's good to the very last drop." That's right. Yeah, you can have 3 or 4 cups of that other coffee. Ain't half as good as my Maxwell House. Well, those of us who were watching John every night knew that that really wasn't coffee in that cup. But we all worshiped this guy. We all wanted to know how he could do what he was doing. We couldn't, none of us, play like he played. And not only that, but at 70, whatever he was, he had every beautiful college woman in that room. Just when the bitter end was empty that night. Just John Hurt had have all these beautiful women in his spell. From John Hurt's granddaughter to come down and do a little presentation, because John Hurt's original cabin had been moved from Avalon, Mississippi, over to the neighboring county right near Grenada, where the rest of the family lives to this day. And this was a really nice kind of an afternoon. And I remember, this is just a little kind of shotgun shack, you know. But it's got a back porch on it. And they'd arranged it so that the back porch was sort of in the front. And I just sat there and I played all afternoon, and I couldn't help thinking, you know, this porch, it sounds good, this porch. I bet you John really liked playing porch. It was a magical afternoon. As you can tell, the Lovin' Spoonful took an awful lot from John Hurt. We took as much as we could. We got a good name out of it, and you might might recognize that some of this John Hurt kind of a finger picking style in this tune. Different periods of music, different instruments sort of take the form. They become the instrument of the day. This is why there's so many clarinets in closets. And accordions too. These are all instruments that had a moment when they were the new thing, and everybody had to get one and had to learn how to play it. And the weird thing that happens is that your body of music to work from on this new instrument is usually an older body of music. What I'm getting to is that guitar players, when they first came along, you know, they were hot stuff. And then there was a period when pianos began to get around, and you know, people started actually having pianos in the U.S. And then the piano was the thing. And I think it was because of that that a lot of guitar players started imitating piano players. So that instead of going, they'd go, because a pianist can't do that, but he can do, can slop it off of the black key onto the white key, you know. And then there was this style that came out, of this kind of ragtime guitar style, which, you know, well, kind of a little memory piece, because a lot of us are fans of Dave Van Ronk. And I used to, yeah, Dave, we're here. And, Van Ronk was the big guy. When I was coming up in the village, he was the guy that could already play like Reverend Gary Davis and John Hurt. He'd been listening to those records from the 30s and stuff. And he had this thing that he'd play called the St. Louis Tickle. Thank you. So here was this little of ragtime guitar. Yeah, I'm suffering from a little tryptophan poisoning myself tonight. And guitarists actually were imitating these piano devices, you know. And so the spoonful, everybody in the band, all the guitar players, there's two guitar players in the band, played with thumb picks instead of flat picks. And that was, to us, that was the thing that was going to make us sound different from everybody else in the pack. And so one of our first things was to make guitar introductions that sounded old. Because this was our thing, sounding old. Did you ever have to make up your mind? And pick up a woman, leave it up behind. It's not always easy. This tune came out of a summer where where the Spoonful opened for the Supremes. This was an amazing summer. Very, very informative for us kind of New York little urban kiddies. Suddenly, 1965. In Alabama, Louisiana. I'll tell you a quick story, okay? This is just like, this doesn't really have anything to do with this song, but but it was so much fun. When the Spoonful got into the Hall of Fame, we had to do a rehearsal in the afternoon. It turned out that Diana Ross was doing the same rehearsal. She was honoring Billie Holiday on that year because Billie Holiday was also getting in as a kind of an influence. You know, they have such an award there. And so Diana's rehearsing this tune with the band up on the stage. And there's all of these nerdy MTV types with black t-shirts, and they've all got cameras, and they're like, they don't know what to film. There's like, you know, one camera would do it, but they're all like, you know, they're filming each other practically. And then there's people interviewing people in the midst of all of this. I see Diana finish her number and start coming down the stairs. And I leaned in and I said, well, Diana, I guess we're opening for you again tonight. And she looked at me and she goes, didn't I sleep with you in a bus in Alabama? Now, this never happened, but just to see the cameras go, it was great. Anyway, and during the course of this summer, traveling around in this bus, and this is before tour buses, these were school buses. So, you know, you'd like to be all scratched in and uncomfortable and, you know, you kidding, a VCR? You, what are you kidding? So, we learned about how to cook off of a Sterno stove, have a full meal in a hotel room. You know, we were learning all kinds of that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking, we need a hit like Baby Love. Because this was the summer of Baby Love, and Where Did Our Love Go, you know? And we thought that, and then this was the thing, I heard Ringo Starr say the same thing, that when he and his band were trying to put together tunes, you'd always be trying to think of what's the new thing that everybody's dancing to. And that summer, it was this straight eight. Like that, you know? You think about Baby Love. Baby, baby. And it was actually, they had people stomping on a choir stand. If you listen to that record closely, you can hear the people stomping on this choir stand. And it was a very effective straight eight thing, because it's almost military, you know, it's a strong sound. And so I said, wait, don't worry, here I got a tune, it sounds exactly like Baby Love. Well, I tell you, most shows I'm intent on like dragging it out and just getting as much time as I can. I must confess that part of the fun of this evening every year is getting together with Jack and Yorma. And Falserano's here too, so I probably don't play any guitar in the next set, but I do need a little warm up, so I'm gonna get my instrument out. That's not what I meant. Thank you all, really. I'm gonna just wipe off a harmonica or two and Ron and Jack, and that is going to get this thing together, and we'll be back in a minute.